from the Loudvox Studios in Seattle, Washington, and coast to coast and around the world, this is Web Talk Radio.
Thank you for listening today. We are the Web Talk Guys at webtalkguys.com or webtalkradio.com. And I'm Rob Greenlee, and I'm joined by my co-host, Dana Greenlee, over here.
Cheerio, everyone.
We are going to be giving Microsoft some well-deserved credit for their support of blogs in the area of company communications and about being open about using web blogs to better be in touch with its customers. Mitch Radcliffe, an A-list blogger, is back in the studio to voice some Microsoft praise, as it is rare.
And I think that you do have to give Microsoft some credit for actually using blogging to collect feedback from their audience. Microsoft, for all of its behemoth-like, stumbling, bloatware approach to software, does a really good job of at least, you know, staying out there at the edge in terms of keeping in touch with people. I mean, you know, Bill Gates did turn that company on a dime, so to speak, about the Internet. The fact that he's doing this is an indication that he is taking in a lot more information about the market than other companies are right now.
Digital, audio, and video media is steamrolling into your living room, whether you're ready for it or not. The computer industry, see, is jumping on this because the fast-growing adoption of broadband access and the huge storage drives and new fast computer processors. See, the industry needs big digital content media files as a reason for people to upgrade their computers, always a business reason. With all this digital content available online and on our huge storage drives, we as consumers of these new digital powers need better and more places to view and listen to all this content. I think we're tired of sitting in front of our computers. Today we're going to speak with Brady Bruce. He's VP for Prismic, which is a new cutting-edge PC to TV and stereo digital media player device. He has a vision for how you can more easily consume all your digital media via your remote control and from your easy chair.
There's too much good media locked up on the PC, and it wants to be somewhere else. Digital photos, movie files, MP3s, currently sort of locked up on the PC, and they really want to be in the living room, and the Prismic Media Player makes that possible.
It's time for a brief summary of this week's news and trends.
Yeah, Microsoft has put out a bounty on virus writers out there. It's about $500,000 bounty for the writers of the MS Blast and the So Big computer viruses that were such a huge hit, or I guess a better way to say it, they were so destructive.
Well, yeehaw, bounty. That sounds like the old West days.
Yeah.
So we've got little pictures of a virus on the telephone pole saying, get this guy.
Go after him.
So it's like $250,000 a piece, whether it was, you know, whichever one you have information on. You know, the thing I would want to ask is when a person does come forward, you know, are you doing it for the right reasons? Because you should be turning in these people even if money isn't dangled in front of you.
That's right, just because it's the right thing to do.
Yahoo's getting Google envy.
Yes, they are. They have added some Google-like tabs to their front page this past week, and they're really starting to push their search features in a competitive effort against Google and trying to recapture some ground that they, I think, have lost, I think, to Google and what's happening out there.
You think?
I think so. And what they've added is a tab to images, yellow pages, and actually some products. So they're going to start getting into some e-commerce stuff, too.
They got that old file folder look like that Amazon does and Google. You know, you can't beat it, though.
That's right. It's the
intuitive.
first step toward them, you know, really kind of being a search engine, I think. But they're still quite different from Google, though, because they have all that additional content and links on their front page, which is Google had their fame for a long time about having a very simple search front page. Yahoo's got a lot of advantages by having that content up there.
So. I got to check in with you every now and then, Rob. Google, Yahoo, who's winning?
Well, I think Google is definitely winning the search battle, but I think Yahoo's got a pretty good chance of winning the war. So just with all their other services they offer, they can keep people on their site longer than Google does. Google is kind of a come in and leave kind of a service right now.
Do you think Google ever decide to become a portal and an ISP and all those
other things? There's been talk of them moving in that direction and offering links to other types of things. They do have Frugal now, which is a shopping area. And they
I like that.
They have other content things that they're trying to work on. So they're going to become a little closer to Yahoo over time.
Coming up, too, in a few weeks, we'll be speaking with the with a Google fella who's working on the AdSense program.
Yeah, we're going to give you the inside scoop on that whole contextual advertising program.
Okay, Rob, digging into the printouts from my digital mailbag.
Yes, which we get flooded with every week.
Got a charming one from a listener from Thailand. We are around the world, of course, so we hear from people from other countries. And this particular person is a compatriot in more ways than one. He's also a media, radio, and TV host.
It's a broadcaster there, an internet broadcaster for that matter.
He says, I do the same work as you. I'm a journalist with the Mass Communication Organization of Thailand. The writer's name is Shasuda, but their nickname is Thai. So don't be confused. Thai from Thailand. Thai interviews IT people and publishes it on their website. And if you go to the website, it's all in Thai, so unless you understand it. But you can go to mcot.or.th/IT.
And that's the specific technology area, I guess, that she has some content that she's produced.
And the content covers information and communications technology, and also she does this for Television Channel 9 in Thailand. I like this part, Rob. Thai says she's studying English by listening to the Web Talk program. See, we
amazing.
Do support educational. Anyway,
that's
she
great.
Said, I just want to make friends with our team.
Well, that's terrific. Thank you for the email. We also got an email from Maddie Wall from Birmingham in the UK, and he said, we have a very interesting show, and he especially liked the pre-recorded show that we did talking about time shifting of audio content, and he thought it was a great idea, and we had some pointed issues that we covered in the show, and he appreciated it. Well, thank you, Maddie, for the email, and keep the emails coming. You can email us at dana@webtalkguys.com or robg@webtalkguys.com, and we definitely want to get your thoughts and comments on the show, just like what we've done here in the last few minutes. We also want to thank a couple of friends of the show. Support for Web Talk Radio every week is provided by Compass Communications, a server and network colocation provider up in the Seattle area at ccom.net. And they do colocation of servers for companies all over the world. So they've got a huge internet connection there. And we're also sponsored by MailWiper.com, who's a faithful supporter of the Web Talk Guys and has got a terrific plugin for fighting spam in your inbox. And they actually have a new software program coming out in the next week or so. We're also supported by paybycheck.com, and they offer a terrific e-commerce payment solution for a regular checking account. So check out paybycheck.com.
Oh, Rob, I do want to mention a couple of new friends of the show. Support for the show comes from Best of the Web, a website portal search. It's at botw.org. Now, last week I said .com. That's not true. .org. It's an internet web directory and a great place to submit your site URL if you want to do that.
Well, and plus this site has a great page rank in Google, too, so you can get some benefits by being listed in there.
And you can find that right on our front page, right under where you listen to this week's show at webtalkradio.com. Also, hotelhotline.com at hotel-hotline.com lets you look up discounted hotel rates from around the world. And I use them to look up some rates for Las Vegas. Rob and I are going to cover the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas in January. And, of course, we needed to find a place to stay, so we used that site.
We're going to go down and find out all about the cool internet devices out there, internet-connected devices, wireless devices, all sorts of stuff.
Rob, shall we bring along our video camera and maybe make some streaming video coverage available on our website?
Well, at the very least, we'll offer some written content about the show, too, and maybe we can review a couple of cool products.
Web Talk Radio's pundit, Mitch Radcliffe, is back in the studio for the third week in a row, and he's all fired up to talk about Microsoft's blogs and how they're willing to use them to stay in touch with their customers.
Stay connected with us. This is Web Talk Guys Radio. Hi, this is Rob Greenlee of Web Talk Guys Radio. I have a tip for you that will cut your inbox spam down to zero, guaranteed. The solution is a very powerful software plugin I've come across called MailWiper, and it cleaned my inbox of all my hundreds of unwanted emails I get every day, and continues to do so every day, 7 days a week. MailWiper currently works with Outlook and Outlook Express from Microsoft and supports multiple email accounts. Definitely stop deleting your emails and wearing out your finger. Do your part to fight spam. MailWiper can be downloaded and installed in seconds and set up within a half an hour. There are no monthly or annual fees ever. Get your life back. I certainly did. Go to MailWiper.com now and save over 40% off the regular $49.95 price. You actually can get the software for $29.95 if you order it right off of the website at MailWiper.com. MailWiper comes with a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee and free technical support. So go to MailWiper.com and get those savings, and it's only $29.95.
I think I can sum up the show for you with one word. Nothing.
Nothing?
Nothing.
One world, one web, one show that matters. The Web Talk Guys.
Welcome to Web Talk Guys Radio Show at WebTalkRadio.com. And I'm Rob Greenlee, and I'm joined by Dana Greenlee over here on the
nice
other mic.
Here.
And
looking good.
We've got Mitch Radcliffe back in the studio with us today.
Hello, America. Just happy to be here.
And Mitch is a longtime journalist from ZDNet and was a chief content officer at On24.com for many, many years.
Yes, all 2.5.
Yes. And is a.
Seemed like years.
It seemed like an eon.
And.
It was the bubble years. It was an amazing time.
That's right. And then it popped.
Everything just sort of went so long.
Well, and Mitch would commute from Seattle to San Francisco every week.
That's right. And then come in on Saturday mornings and do this show with you guys.
And do this show. He's been a Web Talk guy from the beginning.
Yes, he has. And he's also a significant blogger now. Are you, you're considered to be kind of like an A-list blogger, I would say.
I don't buy into that.
He's not.
You don't buy into that stuff.
But he is.
I'm just a blogger, a significant blogger. I feel like that, you know, we should be in an encounter group. Tell me about your significant blogger, Bob.
We're quoted all the
time. Do you have any feelings about your significant blogger you'd like to share with them now?
And to find Mitch's insignificant blog here, go to Radcliffe.com.
Or actually, that's www.radcliffe.com/Radcliffe blog.
Hey,
you guys have seen Bushies, haven't you?
Bushies.
You haven't seen Bushies? Bushies is the comic strip I do every day.
Oh, that's Bushies with your little toy.
Yeah.
Helicopter man. Yeah, or whatever.
Toy.
That's George W. Bush, U.S. President and Naval Aviator. Thank you very much.
You have got to go to Mitch's site and see this comic every day. He poses. Well, you just describe what you do.
Well, every day I take a picture from the White House website generally, although I'm thinking about extending that to the Department of Defense website. And I put wherever the president happens to be, I have the fully posable George W. Bush, U.S. President and Naval Aviator doll, and I pose him in just exactly the same way. He's fully articulable, this doll. And then I take a picture of him and put him over the president in order to mock the Bushian reality that they're trying to construct.
Okay.
And so now your website.
But right now this is all at correspondences.org, which is not, by the way, just a liberal site. For those conservatives of you out there, we want you in the civic dialogue. Please come join
participate,
us.
Right?
Yes, what
get
I've found, though, is that liberals love giving away their content for free and conservatives don't. So,
well, check out correspondences, and that's with an S on the end, .org.
Well, Mitch, I wanted to talk with you a little bit about your comments in your blog about giving Microsoft some credit for some of the things that they've been doing. I know they've been a little bit of a pioneer in the whole blogging space, believe it or not.
Well,
which
let's
isn't
not
really
call them a pioneer, because there are plenty of bloggers out there who will then blog about us being idiots.
Oh, okay. We don't want to go there. We don't want to get blogged.
They did hire an early blogger, Robert Scoble.
Yeah.
Who runs Scobalizer.com, and he is the technical evangelist for Longhorn, the new version of Windows, which will come out in a couple of years. And Scoble blogs prodigiously, and as a result has, I would suppose you could describe, there's a lot of influence over people who are thinking about developing for Longhorn.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and I think that you do have to give Microsoft some credit for actually using blogging, and not only Scoble, but other employees are blogging, to collect feedback from their audience. You know, there are other companies that don't listen at all, and there are other companies that listen in different ways. And I think, you know, you at least have to acknowledge that Microsoft, for all of its behemoth-like, stumbling, bloatware approach to software, does a really good job of at least – you know, staying out there at the edge in terms of keeping in touch with people. I mean, you know, Bill Gates did turn that company on a dime, so to speak, about the internet. The fact that he's doing this is an indication that he is taking in a lot more information about the market than other companies are right now.
Mitch, where can we find that blog? That
Scobelizer, S-C-O-B-E-L-I-Z-E-R.com.
On the Microsoft site?
No, it isn't. They're actually, and so they're individual blogs that are owned by the employees. By contrast, Apple doesn't allow any blogging, from what I understand.
What is the best way for a listener to...
They use wikis internally.
To find blogs like this? I mean, is there a site out there that you can do a search on?
I would go to Scobelizer, but the other thing is that programmers, the PDC, the Microsoft Programming and Development Conference, is coming up, and they've got a whole set of PDC-related blogs that you can get an RSS feed for. And I think you can get that on Scobel's site.
So is the blogger side of the equation with Microsoft going to really help them overcome their potential problem that they have in the future of continuing to be known as bloatware?
No, not at all. I mean, because they're going to continue to try to build software and applications that do everything for mm-hmm. everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a reason Apple's good at doing software. They do software for people who are really geeky about, particular things. That's what Steve Jobs was good at.
Well, and they're not trying to support every platform on the planet either, as far as different devices and those kind of things. Well, as far as platforms, but I'm talking about different types of devices.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where a lot of the conflicts that happen within the Microsoft software is trying to be compatible with.
No, I think you can look at Word
other
in and
software
of itself and say that Word is a massive cancerous bloat. On top of a word processor.
But it does do a pretty good job of what it's supposed to do, though.
It does a whole lot of crap.
Yeah, it does.
Stuff you never use.
Yeah, stuff you never ever use.
And you have to pay for.
Now, there's somebody out there who is using it. And, a couple of weeks ago we talked about the fact that Apple's like Porsche and Windows or Microsoft is like GM.
Mm-hmm.
The difference is GM makes, Chevys and whatever things they make, I can't remember. I'm not a car person. What can I say? I'm talking computers.
But not either.
They make, they make a bunch of different kinds of cars. You don't get, when you buy a Chevy Suburban, a Corvette as well. You go buy a Corvette. And so Microsoft, because they're trying to be everything to everybody, you look at the new version of Office that just shipped, is a massive compendium of functionality. I haven't bought a copy of it yet, and I may never. It probably is on 5 or 6 CDs. It's a massive application.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a point where they're just going to have to start saying, we really need to back up and think about how we sell this stuff.
Well, I thought that they were going to take on a different model and kind of piecemeal software to people and just sell a basic program, and then you can add on components to it. I thought that's what they were going to do years ago.
That's essentially where Longhorn will take the Microsoft OS. And but then the thing is, it'll all be metered usage, basically, where you buy a certain amount of functionality. And if you run over a certain time period of access to that functionality, or you want to add more functionality, you're looking at incremental cost.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking before the show about the fact that I'm happy about paying for a new version of the Macintosh operating system almost every year now, and it's $129. But I get a lot of new functionality for every one. 10.1, 10.2, and 10.3 versions of the Mac OS are very different. And they're also very similar. And there'll be a lot of people out there who think I'm just, worshiping at the Jobsian altar.
Jobsian altar.
But the thing is, that's $129 a year. I get an email application that, does everything that the new version of Outlook does. It's threaded messaging and stuff, things I've wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I could go buy a copy of Office Pro for $329 for an upgrade.
Oh, my goodness.
That's expensive.
Plus, when Longhorn comes out, I'll have to pay $179 for that. And, and both operating systems give me the patches and all the other stuff I want. So, basically, from my perspective as a sort of a minimalist about what I want to do with computing, I'm happy to get to pay for the actual upgrades rather than get into a metered situation. So, and I don't think Microsoft is a bad company.
I don't.
They're just
I agree.
They're very good at a bunch of stuff. They need to recognize that it needs to get broken up.
They're moving more and more towards bundling things together. It's like now you can't get the new upgrade to the browser unless you buy the whole operating system. And it seems like that flies in the face a little bit of what the whole antitrust suit was about. And it just seems, is Apple making their new browser available separate from their operating system?
Well, the thing is, it's only good on the Macintosh OS, and you can get a new version of the browser.
Yeah, I think
you don't have to get the next version of the OS to get the browser.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm referring to Safari, I guess.
Yeah,
as Safari. Are you getting regular upgrades to the Safari separate from the operating system upgrade?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. So they're still supporting that, but Microsoft is moving away from that, where they're bundling more. You know, the server software is bundling the streaming media server now. It's the only way you can get it now,
mm-hmm.
is to buy the operating system.
Boy, that makes a lot of sense. If you want to sell streaming media servers, there's a product manager somewhere at Microsoft tearing his hair out because he can't sell streaming media servers.
I'm sure that's true.
You have to sell Exchange servers to get streaming media.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think they could probably do a little better job of verticalizing and putting into different silos functionality.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll give Microsoft credit. I think what they do with the blogging is very interesting. It's good.
Well, Mitch, thanks for joining us again.
Thank you.
And if you want to read more about what Mitch has to say, you can go to his blog at www.radcliffe.com/radcliffeblogs.
That's Radcliffe with a T.
Now stay connected. If you want to find out how you can bring your PC into the living room, you'll want to listen to Brady Bruce. He's joining us in a moment. He's Vice President of Sales and Support at Prismic.com, the makers of the Prismic Media Player device. You're listening to Web Talk Eyes Radio.
Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the ships at sea. Have you ever wanted to say the news, see the news, and tell the news the way you experienced it, not rely on the big media, the guy with a camera to come out and tell it for you? Well, check out correspondences.org. It's the first civic journalism site for America. We just ask you to join the staff and begin contributing. We'll set you up with an account. It's simple, it's easy, and more importantly, it's free. We want people, citizens, talking about their problems and the solutions they have for them. So check out correspondences.org. That's www.correspondences.org. Correspondences. News for the people, by the people.
Welcome back to Web Talk Guys Radio. I'm Rob Greenlee, and you know what? We've got Dana Greenlee in here, too.
Yes, I'm right by your side. Now, the computer industry is jumping on the fast-growing adoption of broadband access, thank goodness, and, of course, the huge storage drives that we now have and the new fast computer processors. What does that all mean? That means the industry just loves this new big digital video and audio content media files because it gives people a reason to go out and upgrade their computers. Well, with all this digital content available online and on our huge storage drives, you know, I think we as consumers need better and more places to listen and view this content.
Today, we're going to speak with Brady Bruce, who is Vice President for Prismic at PRISMIQ.com, a new cutting-edge PC to TV and stereo digital media player device that uses Wi-Fi or your wired network to access digital content on your PC for viewing via your television or stereo system. Brady has a utopian vision for how we can all more easily consume all our digital media via a remote control in our easy chair. Brady, thanks for being on the show with us.
Hi, Rob. Glad to be here.
Hey, why don't you tell us a little bit more in detail about the Prismic device and how it works?
Well, we start off with a simple premise, but I think a profound one, too. And it's that there's too much good media locked up on the PC, and it wants to be somewhere else. Digital photos, movie files, MP3s, other forms of digital music currently sort of locked up on the PC, and they really want to be in the living room, and the Prismic Media Player makes that possible.
All the different media that you're talking about, you know, like songs and videos and all those kinds of things that people consume on their computer right now, you guys are enabling the porting them over to the television set. How important is the display device, you know, in this whole mix?
We use the television really as the user interface. It's the familiar visual entertainment device in the home.
Mm-hmm.
It's the modern equivalent of the home fire. It's where people gather. It's where they expect to see entertainment.
Sure.
They're accustomed to controlling the flow of entertainment to the TV screen using handheld remote controls. And so we've taken that metaphor and applied it to the digital media that comes in over the network and resides on the PC, or that is created on the PC and ends up stored there.
this technology that you're using with the set-top box, is it similar to what a Media Center PC does, or what's different about what you guys are doing compared to some of the software-driven things that are out there?
In many ways, it is comparable to the Media Center PC approach, mm-hmm. although with the Prismic Media Player, you're not required to have a PC in your living room. We love PCs. We're built around a PC-centric architecture. We just think the PCs should be where they belong, which is probably not next to the television set. Fact of the matter is, you can get to all the content that lives on PCs via a home network through a device like the Prismic Media Player. Our box is small. It's a little bit bigger than a standard paperback book. It sits on your TV, next to your TV, on top of your stereo, somewhere in the home entertainment center, mm-hmm. and connects up two different things to the home network via Ethernet or 802.11a, 802.11b, or 802.11g wireless networks so that it can see all the PCs in the home and all the content, video, audio, and images that resides there. And then it connects up on the other side to the television set, the stereo, the home entertainment center, so that content can be played back in the comfort of the living room or the den or the bedroom.
So basically what this device does is enable a person to control access to files and things on their PC, but via like a remote control from their easy chair, as they say?
Well, that's the idea.
What type of files can be played through this right now?
Right, the various formats. For video, the device can access all of the MPEG-1, MPEG-2, MPEG-4, and various AVI formats, including DivX, that live on the PC. So those can be played back now over your television set and through your stereo and all the glorious sonic rendering that it's capable of. Images, it can play back JPEGs, the most common format in which digital cameras record images. And then audio, it can play back MP3s, Windows Media Audio files, and WAV files. Those are things that people are typically accustomed to seeing at their PC, mm-hmm. and we've just made it easier to get them where they really belong, which is on the entertainment center.
Yeah, certainly the TV kind of pulls a different expectation, I would think, is what's the support for video and streaming and all those things that are people are starting to do more online?
Well, currently the box can take streams that originate on the Internet in the form of Internet radio. Mm-hmm. Delivered via the Shoutcast format or .pls streams.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, one can go to Live365 or to the Shoutcast.com directory and find thousands of high-quality audio streams, you know, sub genres of music streamed live and mostly commercial-free 24 hours a day that they can play back over the Prismic system. We're not currently supporting streaming video coming from the Internet, although that is in the plans, and you know, look for that in 2004.
Windows Media file formats and Reel and all those things are not presently supported right now? Is that
well, we're supporting
like?
Windows Media Audio.
Audio. Now, that's playing off of the PC, though. Is that using the player on the PC, and then it's just funneling that transmission through the wireless network to the Prismic device?
That's correct. And what you'll see next year will be support for streams of Windows Media Audio coming from the Internet, as well as support for streams of Windows Media Video.
Oh, terrific. Those are what people are looking for out there, I'm sure. What kind of display device are people able to use with this? Is it any television, or is it optimized to use like a plasma display or, you know, an HDTV type?
Well, you know, we see our job as sort of endorsing whatever decisions the customer has made about their home networks, their PCs, and
sure.
ultimately the display devices also. So if your monitor has a video import of one kind or another, S-video or composite video, the Prismic device can display to it. And, in fact, you can preset on the device. It's software-driven. There are a lot of controls you have over the way the media player operates. You can preset whether this display is 4x3 or 16x9, you know, cinema-style display, mm-hmm. and it will adjust accordingly. Recognizing the fact that you have video content in a lot of different formats, too,
yeah.
you'll find that with the media player, even while a video is playing, you can change the aspect ratio from 4x3 to 16x9 to 2.35x1. So that if you've got a content that was rendered in one of those formats, you can easily adjust it to fit your TV screen.
Can a person plug in their DVD player to this thing or other types of set-top boxes that they may have, like a VCR or those kind of things? And does it also support like a comprehensive channel guide?
Well, what we do, you know, currently with the box is we're looking for content that lives on one or more of the PCs in your home network. So a small application, a very lightweight application called the Media Manager, will run on a Windows PC somewhere in your home network environment, and it will be able to see all of the content, video, audio, images that you allow it to see on all of the network PCs in your home. And those, by the way, those can be Linux, Mac, or Windows devices on which the content resides.
Okay.
The server software does run on a Windows PC currently. So we really look for content that lives on a hard drive somewhere, unless it's in the form of Internet radio currently.
Oh, okay.
Internet radio is the one form that we can see that originates external to the home.
Okay, so you can't, like, take your cable TV and plug it into the back of the Prismic and have that whole experience as well?
No, you really don't need to. So, you know, your television probably has a switch that allows you to go from source 1 to source 2 to source 3 and so on.
Oh, okay.
Just switching on the Prismic device really means switching from the TV input, which is, you know, maybe source 1, then you switch to source 2, and the Prismic user interface pops up on screen.
Brady, why don't you explain for those that are listening and want to kind of visualize what the Prismic interface looks like? And I'm looking right now at some screenshots, but what would they see when they first switched over to the Prismic device on their TV?
Well, they're going to see something both fun and friendly. When you switch to the source that reveals the Prismic media player on your TV or monitor, you'll see a very simple user interface. It's animated, interesting to look at, and by the way, it provides voice cues, so when you select an input, this charming voice will tell you that you've selected video or audio or image.
Oh, that's terrific.
You'll see this user interface, and you can click on one of the big buttons. You use a handheld remote, much as you do now with your television set or VCR or DVD. And so you'll click on video, and the charming voice again will tell you you've selected video. And then you'll go to a page that shows you two different, well, if you will, window panes. In the left pane, you'll see your content organized in the same folder structure by which you've organized it on your PC. So that if you had content, video content arranged into movies, movie trailers, action, comedy, and so on, you'll see folders there. And if you click on a folder in the left-hand pane, say comedy, in the right-hand window pane, you would see all of the video content that you've got in your comedy folder. Click on one of those files, and preview window pops up, occupies about a quarter of the screen. If that's what you want to watch, you hit the full screen button, and the video occupies all the available real estate on your TV monitor and begins playing immediately. And you have all the controls you would expect to have over video content, much as you do with your DVD. You've got fast forward, rewind, pause, and so on. The experience of movie watching is enhanced by the fact that the Prismic Media Player has a digital audio out jack on the back of the box, an SPDIF, digital audio out. So you can hook that up to your home theater and really get all of the audio impact you'd expect to get from a high-end video clip or movie.
We're having a conversation with Brady Bruce. He's Vice President of Sales and Support for Prismic. Prismic.com is at PRISMIQ.com, about the Prismic Media Player that brings your PC into the living room. More with Brady in a moment. You're listening to Web Talk Eyes Radio. Hey, Bruce, what does your t-shirt say?
Hey, take a look at this shirt.
Okay, Rubber Baby Bonker Busters. That's funny.
Oh, I just love this shirt.
I haven't seen that one before. Where in the world did you get that?
Just4Yucks.com.
Just4Yucks.com.
Yeah, Just4Yucks.com. They have more than 250 original hilarious designs that are available on t-shirts and mouse pads.
Wait, 250 tongue twister t-shirts?
Oh, you should see what they have. Cartoons, cliches, puns. They've got wordplay on all kinds of topics.
Well, what I want to know is, do they have computer t-shirts?
Oh, of course they do.
Oh, well, it sounds like Just4Yucks.com has just about everything I could imagine.
Oh, they do. And they have a few things you probably couldn't imagine.
Well, likewise.
Like professional wrestling in outer space. Uh-huh. And also the Roswell Rodeo, you know, the one featuring alien cowboys?
Oh, way cool. I like that. Do they put their designs on anything besides t-shirts and mouse pads?
Just4Yucks.com? They've got coasters, pinback buttons, they've got magnets, keychains. Oh, you have to check them out.
Oh, sounds like I better check out Just4Yucks.com.
Good idea.
Hi, this is Rob Greenlee of WebTalkGuys Radio. I have a tip for you that will cut your inbox spam down to zero, guaranteed. The solution is a very powerful software plugin called MailWiper, and it cleaned my inbox of all my hundreds of unwanted emails and continues to do so every day, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. MailWiper currently works with Outlook and Outlook Express for Microsoft and supports multiple email accounts. Definitely stop deleting emails. Do your part to fight spam. MailWiper can be downloaded and installed in seconds and set up within a half an hour. There is no monthly fee or annual fees ever. Get your life back. I did. Go to MailWiper.com now and save over 40% off the regular $49.95 price. Get MailWiper now for $29.95 by visiting MailWiper.com. MailWiper comes with a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee and free technical support. Remember, save 40% now off of the regular $49.95 price by going to MailWiper.com right now.
We here at the Web Talk Guys need to stay in touch with what's happening in the local business community. That's why we all rely on our daily dose of the South Sound Business News with the Business Examiner Daily. The Business Examiner Daily is delivered free via email each weekday afternoon to subscribers with the top local business stories of the day. It's a quick read, and I've really come to depend on the Business Examiner Daily for its timely, relevant business news and a calendar of local business events. I recommend you sign up for this free email newsletter at their website, businessexaminer.com. Get all the business all the time at businessexaminer.com. The Web Talk Guys are thrilled to be your radio hosts, but we'd also be thrilled to host your website too. The Web Talk Guys website hosting service combines a high-speed, dedicated internet connection and the marketing power of a link from the show's website to help you. We offer all the standard hosting stuff for a very low, limited-time hosting price of only $10 a month for the first 3 months. To learn more, go to webtalkguys.com and click on Web Services or email info@webtalkguys.com. Web Talk Guys, not just your radio hosts, but also your total hosting solution.
It's Web Talk Guys Radio. My name is Rob Greenley.
And I'm Web Girl Dana. And Brady Bruce is on the line with us. He's Vice President of Sales and Support at Prismic.com, talking about the Prismic media player that brings the PC into your living room.
Yeah, let's talk about all of the awards that you guys have gotten with this cool device. Now, you guys have gotten the CES Best of the Show. You guys are getting all sorts of things here. Why don't you run through some of those for us, too?
Been a very good year for us.
Yeah.
We debuted the Prismic Media Player at CES 2003 in January of this year. Went there with modest expectations, a new company, a new product. I'm very proud of it.
Sure.
But ended up walking out of there with Best of Show Awards in the relevant categories from CNET, three of the awarding organizations there that provide a Best of Show Awards. We're the first product ever to win all three Best of Show Awards. Since then, the product has gone on to really earn accolades from, I think, all of the significant reviewers. In July, we got an Editor's Choice Award from PC Magazine. If I can recall the quote, it was something like, "This may already be the best product of 2003.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
In August, we got an Editor's Choice Award from CNET. And this week, we won an Editor's Choice Award from Computer Shopper. And there have been about a dozen others.
Well, it's because you've created something that's just not yet out there in a real usable form. You know, this is just a box you put on your TV, you hook it up, and it makes it so easy for people to do something they've never been able to really do well before.
Well, I think, you know, we're doing all those things, and, of course, we're a very ambitious group. We have high expectations for technology like this ourselves. We built the box to please ourselves as much as anything else, and recognizing that there's always room for improvement. We built this as a software upgradable device.
Mm-hmm.
And so as new formats require support, as our customers drive us to do new and more interesting things with the device, we're able to provide updates free to our users as software and firmware updates. In fact, we've done about five of them this year, adding new features like the photos feature, which was not on the original product, adding support for WMA and WAV files,
mm-hmm.
Adding this new user interface, in fact, just last week via software. So the owner of a Prismic Media Player can expect routinely to see the box upgraded.
Well, now it certainly seems like this is a less expensive alternative compared to like getting maybe a Media Center type PC, and it seems like you guys can keep adding features to this to the point where it'll solve everybody's need. That's what it sounds like. I mean, you know, and be a low cost solution for getting your media to your television set.
You know, Media Center PCs are tremendous devices, and without a doubt, there's a market for that. There are people who are happier, in fact, eager to have a PC in their living room and, you know, can support the real estate that it requires and the, I think, sort of PC-centric view of the world we've created what we think is really a consumer electronics device on the outside that has the heart of a PC on the inside. In fact, this device does run Linux OS. But to the end user, what they really see is an entertainment device. Yeah. Behind the scenes, we're doing all sorts of interesting things, sort of operating this device as a PC. It is, in fact, a client that lives on the network. But the user just sees, well, gee, I can play my video, I can play my audio. And moreover, the Prismic Media Player retails at $249.95, substantially less than a Media Center PC would cost. So we think there's room in the world for both. We're happy with the press and the customer acceptance that that it's received. And, you know, we expect to do better.
What was your thoughts behind whether or not to support a Mac environment? Have you heard from anybody from that community?
Oh, yeah.
They wanted to.
They wanted, oh, yeah, I bet you. They want to play as much or more.
Well, we've, you know, a lot of us are Mac addicts ourselves and came from other companies in Mac technology. I was vice president of marketing at Radius, the company that built displays and high-end monitors for Macintoshes at one time.
Oh, okay.
So we just haven't gotten there yet. There's an enormous amount of interest. We get dozens of requests a day for it. We're working on it. You know, what I would say to Mac users now is if you happen to live in a hybrid environment, and somewhere amongst that number of Macs that you have at home, there is a PC operating Windows somewhere that you can operate the Media Manager software on the Windows PC, and it can still see all the content on the network Macs. Linux is the other OS, of course, that we receive a lot of requests for. That is also on the way.
Now, you can actually browse the World Wide Web with this thing too, right?
Well, it's a feature. We looked at the way people were likely to use the device, looked at the fact that it was attached to the network, and, of course, networks are attached to the web, and said, well, what else do people want to do while they're sitting in front of their TV set in the living room? What are the other useful functions the box could serve? So, I mean, obviously the entertainment was where we started, but we said, well, we could put a web browser in here. In fact, you can surf the World Wide Web. There is, in addition to the video, the audio, and the images buttons on the main user interface, there's one for web. And click on that, a browser pops up, and you can surf the web much as you would on any PC. It's not a replacement for a PC. It's a, it, this is a set-top box, after all. It's not running a 3-gig Pentium 4 in it, so pages tend to load a little slower. But, you know, what it really offers to people is an additional PC in the home for somebody who needs to look something up quickly. They're watching something on TV, and they see a URL they want to check out without having to get up and go to a PC somewhere else in the house. Allows you to check your email while you're sitting there. Very important to do. So if the other PCs in the house are tied up, mom or dad can get on the Prismic Media Player and check email. We've also built in an IM chat client. Currently, it is AOL Instant Messaging compliant. And so users sitting in front of their Prismic Media Player can bring up the chat client and get online with their buddies. And in fact, you can do that while you're doing other things. So, you know, you're 15 years old, you're watching the latest action-adventure film, you can be chatting with your buddies online at the same time.
So did you guys actually build your own proprietary web browser for this? Or
no.
Is it somebody else's technology that you've integrated?
We're the guys who are experts in the media stuff.
Oh, okay.
But at the browser, we looked around and we said, well, who's got the most capable browser for an, you know, an embedded OS in a set-top box out there? And it was a browser from Ant Limited, a British company. By far the best and most widely distributed embedded browser on the market. A very, very capable browser.
Brady, tell us where we can find the Prismic device. And I think we have to buy a keyboard wirelessly extra if we don't want to use the remote, but it comes with the remote. Is that correct?
Right. You can do all of the things required to operate the Prismic Media Player, including chat and entering URLs with the small handheld infrared remote, sort of entered in SMS style the way you do with your mobile phone. But for people who are more comfortable with sort of a standard PC keyboard, for entering lots of text, if you're going to do a lot of that, there is an optional $49.95 wireless keyboard that's available. The product is a bestseller currently on a number of websites, on buy.com, it's available. Also at ThinkGeek, a very popular site. We like those guys a lot, too. We just went into distribution in 124 stores across Canada, the Future Shop chain, which is owned by Best Buy.
Sure.
And so the product is available there as well as on their website at futureshop.com. Roxio is also distributing the product. They're a technology partner for us, and you can go to Roxio and buy the product there. And we'll be on Amazon.com.
Oh, that's terrific.
How about for our friends that are outside the United States? Is that compatible with what they have over there, or is that a market that you're looking into?
Well, we currently support the NTSC television standard, so that gives us access to North America.
Okay.
So U.S., Canada, and Mexico is where we currently sell the product. We are working on support for the PAL video standard, which will open up the markets in Europe and Asia to us. And that will be something we'll do before mid-year 2004. It will be based on the email we received, I think it's going to be very well received there.
Great.
I would think so. Brady, it was great having you on the show to talk about your very cool Prismic media player.
It's, okay, I hope everybody will have a look at it at prismic.com.
Yeah, definitely go check it out. And Brady, you have a terrific weekend, and we appreciate it.
Thanks, Rob. Thanks, Dana.
Thank you very much for listening to Web Talk Guys this week. That's it for our show this week, but Rob and I will be back here bringing you more glimpses into the future of the Internet.
Thank you for downloading the Web Talk Guys. Bookmark us now for next week. Same Web Talk Guys time, same Web Talk Guys channel.